Why is it important to understand how the world sees you? How can this improve your business? New York Times bestselling author and creator of the Fascination Advantage Assessment, Sally Hogshead, shares how to be more memorable in all of your relationships.
Hi, I'm Sally Hogshead. There are plenty of assessments that measure how you see the world, but there's only one that measures how the world sees you.
Up until this point, the most important thing for you to understand in your career about how to connect with customers was how you see the world. Today, what matters in a competitive and distracted environment is not how you see the world, it's how does the world see you? How does your customer see you? How do your employees see you, your coworkers, your vendors, your partners? How do they see you and what do they value about you? When you think about yourself, I want you to think about it like this. There's no one right way to sell or communicate. There's no one way of communicating that's better than another, but there is one that's going to be totally authentic for you. There's one way in which you communicate that it feels natural for you. And then when you're in this flow, you're going to be your most effective. You're going to be your most persuasive. So I want you to start thinking about the way that you communicate differently than other people, because we want to dial that up. We want your communication to be different than everybody else's, because that's how you're going to start to create distinct relationships and have conversations that people remember, that people take action on, that they go home and they think about. And this isn't just about sales. This is about relationships in general. Over time, with your employees, with your most trusted and respected customers. So here's the problem. The average attention span right now used to be 20 minutes. Now it may only be 9 seconds. 9 seconds. Think about that. 9 seconds before somebody's going to get distracted. That means that when they're browsing, that their brain is already starting to think about their emails that are coming in, their next meeting, their Twitter stream. You know, have you noticed this when people are browsing, that they're not really focused? They're kind of multitasking all the time. So when you're communicating with somebody, what can you say that's going to immediately get their attention so that they listen to you, so that they value your communication? I want you to think about it like this. Imagine that there's a door right here, and this door is the attention span. Your job is to get on the other side of that door. On the other side of that door is the sale. It's the relationship. It's the growth for your company. It's the expansion of your business. This is where the ROI is, on the other side of this door. But first, you have to get through the door, which is the attention span. And if you knock on the door in the right way, the door will crack open. And once you've cracked that door open, then you can come over here, and this is where the goodie is. This is where you get to have the growth and the sales and the relationships. But first, you've got to get through that door. You've got to earn those first 9 seconds so that you can start to build the relationship on from there. Now, 9 seconds is tough, because 9 seconds is also the same attention span as a goldfish. So when the customer walks in, you're basically talking to a goldfish. What can you say to earn their attention? How do you become most worthy of your customer's attention so that they're not thinking about their email list and their to-do list? The solution is to fascinate them. Now, let me describe what I mean by this. Fascination is a neurological state of intense emotional focus. When people are fascinated, they're not thinking about everything else. They're not thinking about their to-do list. They're not thinking about your competitor. They're not thinking about the piece of jewelry that they saw the other day that they might buy instead of the one that you want to sell. They're only thinking about you. And in this moment, when you fascinate somebody, their brain opens up. Their brain actually lights up. In fact, some studies show that it's almost the same as falling in love. Because as the brain begins to connect with somebody else, people stop being cynical. They stop being skeptical. They stop thinking no, and they start thinking yes. They stop doubting, and they start taking action. So when you're communicating with your customer, if you can start to build this intense focus, you're talking about your customer's true needs and the opportunity that you have to solve that need. Now, when we look at the brain, when we look at the brain inside of an MRI, when you look at what happens in the brain, when it's in a state of fascination, it opens up. We work with a team of neurologists and radiologists, and they describe that when a professional golfer practices his swing in his mind while he's inside of an MRI, the brain opens up like this. Because he's fascinated, he's in the flow. Well, the same thing happens when you're in your work. When you're in your work and you feel totally naturally doing the way your personality was meant to behave, it feels easy and effortless. It stops feeling like a struggle. And this is your primary trigger. Your primary trigger is the way in which you are most naturally suited to communicate. So when we talk to Doug, he has primary rebellion. When we talk to Michael, he has primary passion, secondary mystique. These are the ways they're just naturally made to communicate. Now, Doug could behave in a different way. Doug could behave in a way that's highly regimented, highly perfectionistic, making sure that everything is checked off the little box. But Doug, are you happy and comfortable when you have to do that? No, of course not. I mean, you could do it if you had to, but it's going to feel uncomfortable for you. And this is your dormant trigger. Your dormant trigger is the one that you're least likely to use. It feels effortful to use. So when we look at our personalities, we can really think of ourselves as being like brands and how brands communicate. So we can borrow some of the lessons of branding to transition over for how we as individuals communicate best. These are my clients. Before I started studying personalities, I was a creative director in advertising. I opened up my first advertising agency at the age of 27, and I went on to have national Fortune 100 clients and did global campaigns. And one of the things that I saw is that consistently the clients that got the best result, they had a choice. They could either have the biggest budget or they could be the most fascinating. So if they had the biggest budget, they could afford to just advertise over and over and over again to grind the message in. But if they didn't have the biggest budget, then they needed to say something that was different and better, something that would create some type of a connection. So I wanted to study this. Well, most brands don't have the biggest budget. Most of us in the room, we don't have the biggest budget. We don't have enough money to waste. So we have to be the most fascinating. So when we fascinate customers, when we create this channel of communication, I wanted to study what's the ROI of that. How much is that actually worth? And here's what we learned, a study of 1,000 people. We found that people will pay up to 4 times more for the exact same product if they highly value it. In other words, if you're not the green ticket, you're the orange ticket, and people see that your store is selling a relationship, your store is selling more than just the commodity of diamonds and gold, then you can start to charge more, and that people will also be more likely to buy, and they'll be more loyal. So there's a lot of value in doing this, and we see this playing out all the time. If you give a woman 2 pairs of sunglasses that are precisely the same down to the last screw, but one of them has a Chanel logo, she'll pay 4 times more for the pair with the Chanel logo, even though the utility of them is precisely the same. In other words, the value of that logo is that it quadruples the perceived price of the utility. Now imagine that with jewelry. If people are presented by only judging with the 4 C's, then what that means is they can go to Zales, they can go anywhere, they can buy their diamonds online. Why should they buy them from you if the only criteria is the 4 C's? So if you can stop being the green ticket and stop just going on the rational measurement and start to think, what is the value that you can add individually to heighten that? That's how you win.
Thanks for listening. To rapid track your path to fascination, take the Fascination Advantage Assessment today. You can take the assessment and grab our cheat sheet on the 7 fascination advantages at howtofascinate.com/podcast. That's howtofascinate.com/podcast. Today's cheat sheet can be found under episode 2.